Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Immaculate. It's directed by Michael Mohan, written by Andrew Lobel, and starring Sydney Sweeney as Sister Celia, Alvaro Morte as Father Sal Tedeschi, and Simona Tabasco? Okay. As Sister Mary. The plot of this movie is Cecilia, a woman of devout faith, is warmly welcomed to the picture-perfect Italian countryside where she is offered a new role at an illustrious convent, but it becomes clear that her new home harbors dark and horrifying secrets. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil, and dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us. And like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local too. They're based out of Connecticut. So help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Immaculate?
Man, I really thought this was going to be another one of those movies that was just, you know, like a new age horror movie that was just going to suck because it was in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was wrong. This movie lived up to all my expectations. Sydney Sweeney's been in some questionable roles, and I did not think she was going to be able to nail a horror role like this. But holy shit, man, she knocked it out of the park. And I really think she found her niche, as you could say.
Her niche.
Like this is the role. These are the types of roles that she was meant for. I absolutely love this movie. Everything about it.
You know, it's funny you say that because I did mention it in like kind of my closing notes that Sydney Sweeney's been in some movies lately that really haven't been doing too well and haven't been like big at the box office, like Madam Web, right?
Madam Web. Oh, God.
I didn't watch it. I hear bad things and didn't do good in theaters, but I think that Marvel's starting to like kind of scrape the bottom of the barrel at this point.
So we watched Madam Web recently and it was fucking ass, but I'm not going to blame the actors and actresses because even the actors and actresses have come out and said that the movie was ass. They want nothing to do with it ever again, you know?
Yeah. So the problem with that is that she's putting out these movies and though she's great, it seems like the movies themselves aren't. So that could have a negative effect on her career. People are going to be like, oh, she's not a box office draw. Or maybe the movies are just shitty. That type deal. Yeah. Luckily, this wasn't shitty. However, it didn't do good in theaters, from what I gather. I think it was like $22 million worldwide, which doesn't sound bad. But like on the grand scheme of things in Hollywood, probably a little bit on the lower end. You know, they probably want to see like 50 or whatever.
And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, like I was saying before, that people are kind of fed up with these horror movies going to theaters because you know what to expect now.
Yeah.
It's going to suck.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. A lot of these horror movies just are not pulling their weight in theaters. You know, we're a diehard bunch. You know, we like to go and see horror movies, but we're not stupid either. If we're going to go to the theaters, we want a banger of a horror movie. We don't want to just like have our intelligence fucking mocked. You know, we want to have a good time.
This is why I like Shudder and Screambox and stuff like that, because the movies that show up on those services are very under the radar. They typically don't end up in theaters unless you have something like, say, Terrifier, for example. That started as an indie low-budget movie, but it's taken off. And like Terrifier 2 got re-released in theaters, and now 3 is going to get a worldwide release in theaters.
Yeah.
Well, even Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh did really well, too. Well, from what I was reading, it like towards the beginning, it did really well. I don't have the full stats or figures that it eventually made. But Yeah, there's a bunch of movies that are like, I feel like, yes, they start off more on streaming services and then they have that cult following and then they have like a follow-up, like maybe a sequel, and then it does better. So that, or they remake it and they just throw in James McAvoy.
Yeah, I won't lie though, that Speak No Evil trailer kind of looked really good.
It just looked like a carbon copy of...
It looks like a carbon copy in English with James McAvoy.
Which is fine. Whatever. I'll go see it. You'll see it.
Yeah, they spoil the whole thing right in the trailer, too. Like, you probably don't even need to watch it now if you've never seen it. Just watch the 2-minute trailer and you know what everything that happens.
Or at least we do. We know everything. But some people will probably watch the trailer and they're like, oh, that's weird. I wonder what's going to happen. And it's like, that's what happens.
Yeah, but they give it away in the trailer. They literally give away why it's called Speak No Evil in the trailer.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get a full frontal James McAvoy?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think
there was some full frontal in that that first one.
I don't know if I want to see James McAvoy's hog.
I don't want to, but you're going to commit to the bit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if the paycheck was big enough for that, but
nah, who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
So I saw your notes briefly, like when I was starting mine, and I saw 5 out of 5 right away. And I'm like, okay, so there's something in this that he liked.
Spoilers.
Oh my god. Yes. You know what? Fuck it. Spoiler, probably the most, like, this has to be the top, like the tippity top of the mountain for Dead Kid Meter.
Because of that one thing?
Just because of that one thing.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there, but, you know, let that sink in for a second. So this movie, yeah, it starts off really fucked up. We see a girl trying to leave the convent, and this is straight culty shit, man. It looks very culty. They're chasing her. She's trying to escape. They break her fucking leg right away.
As soon as that happened, I was like, Steve just went ballistic.
I went nuts right away. I was like, because the twist and bend. And it was so like, they did it with absolute no effort. You'd think they were fucking these monsters who had this ability, like this strength. But they're just fucking, it's basically a cult. Let's be honest. So, okay, you know what? I'm going to take that back. I can't be saying that shit. I can't be calling a friggin' religion a cult.
Well,
yeah, okay. So,
we're canceled.
We're canceled already. Catholicism is very intense for a religion that, you know, it's based on Christ. It's very intense. They're very traditional and very like, you're going to hell if you don't do this. Like you're going to hell for everything with Catholicism. I mean, that's what I gather, because like I was Catholic and you basically went to hell for everything. You know, you're too gummy, you're going to hell.
So I went to Catholic school for 4 years.
Wow.
Not really? Against. Yeah. Now, you never would have guessed it judging by how I turned out. But yeah, my parents thought it was a good idea.
I did it for a few years as well. Like, I went through communion and all that stuff, but I didn't do the whole confirmation, which is like what you need in order to get married in a church.
I don't know if I did either, honestly, but that's what's kind of cool about this movie, because it's true to life. You know, the nuns and everything, like all that stuff technically happened.
Yeah. And you know, watching this movie, I'm thinking to myself, you know, a lot of this is probably like pretty close to like a real thing. I mean, probably not to this like extent.
No, it is.
You never know. It could be.
I think all this shit is, it happens.
Yeah. With everything, with the whole convents and stuff like that, and maybe they have some of these traditions where these nuns are treated like absolute shit. And I could only imagine. But just by some of the shit we hear, it's not unlikely. It's fucking crazy.
I was a huge fan of this particular scene of that woman escaping, because it's like the first maybe like 10 minutes of the movie. So the intro credits haven't even rolled yet. And you're seeing this woman try to escape and get her leg broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bury her alive.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man.
They put her in a casket and all they gave her was a lighter?
Matches. Like, it's so bad because she needed to pull some Beatrice Kiddo shit, man, to get out of there. But if you're buried alive and you're in a coffin like that, she's like absolutely screwed. Obviously, she's buried at this point. Nothing you can really do. You can scream for help all you want. If you're using flames, that sucks the air out. So not only are you like losing oxygen for being down there, now that you're lighting matches, you're losing even more oxygen and she's screaming. She'll be dead in a couple of minutes, guaranteed.
Yeah. I think that's one of my fears, is being buried alive, because you made the Kill Bill reference. And then there was that movie, what was it, just Buried? It was Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, just a one-man show on that one.
A whole fucking movie. And we actually have a movie coming up, which will probably be out in the next couple weeks that we'll be reviewing, about a girl locked in a trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that might be my fear.
Do you think it's like the absolute hopelessness of like you're stuck in something and you just can't escape?
It could be, yeah. And like you said, like they give you matches or a lighter or something and then you use them and suck all the air out.
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually you're going to suffocate, you know, unless you're Beatrice Kiddo and you punch your way out.
Yeah, which Beatrice Kiddo is a whole different beast. And also, I don't even think would be remotely possible. You've got a probably 1,000 pounds worth of dirt on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you were to smash through a coffin, you'd probably be crushed to death by the dirt.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
So, yeah. I mean, that's what I think. I haven't been buried alive. I don't know.
Do you want to test it out?
No, I don't. No, right. Absolutely not. I'm good. So, yeah, next scene, we actually start to see Sydney Sweeney. We see that she's at the, I want to say, what, consulate, maybe? And they're checking her shit, and she just has a simple bag. You know, if you're a nun, you're not going to have a lot with you. Everything's kind of there. You have like your basic necessities and everything else is taken care of for you. They, you know, you have your outfits there, garbs, what do you have, whatever you want to call them. I don't know what they're called. And they were checking her just to make sure that, you know, she's not fucking around, because they see a one-way ticket and they automatically think that some sketchy shit is happening.
Yeah, but, and they let her go pretty easily too. Like, gave her that stamp after asking a few simple questions.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, the guy has to throw this in there, like, oh, what a shame, that type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, same. But, yeah, Sydney Sweeney just unlocked a new kink for me.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Steve.
Sydney Sweeney as a nun.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll add that next to my my line dancing goth girls kink.
Isn't that your whole Instagram for you page?
It's awful. It's so bad.
Okay.
You look at one video and all of a sudden your fucking Instagram feed's like just nothing but e-girls. Whatever, I've got a problem.
Well, it is what it is. Everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, everyone's got their thing. So she gets to the convent. She doesn't know any fucking Italian at all, which kind of sucks. And she meets this one girl who is definitely kind of the hard ass. There's always a hard ass when it comes to these religious-based movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that one person who's like, I'm better than you, or like, I take this very seriously. It's in every single one of
them. This was Isabel, right?
Yes.
Okay. Was like her friend showing her around, and the one that was smoking in the bathroom, which was, what the fuck? Sydney's trying to go, or Cecilia's trying to go to the bathroom, and Sister Mary comes in and just sits in the window and starts smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, fucking like, creepy.
Give me some fucking privacy, man.
Yeah, what the shit?
Trying to take a dump.
Yeah, that's what it looks like she was doing. She's just trying to get to business.
Yep.
And no, she has to fucking deal with that now. She was so thrown off guard. Like, just imagine taking a dump and all of a sudden someone comes in and just sits down and starts smoking and talking to you. It's like, a little privacy, please.
I hate when someone tries to have a conversation with me when I'm taking a piss.
Oh, man, it's the fucking worst. I hate
like,
it.
Like, bro, I don't give a fuck how your day's going. I'm trying to piss.
Yeah, I was at a bar recently, and it was in Manchester. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm taking a piss, and then this guy walks in, and what's happening is, like, outside there's karaoke going on, and it's bad. This person is butchering this song. So this guy comes in and starts talking to me as I'm taking a piss. And he's like right next to me talking to me. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to talk about this. And he's trying to talk to me about music. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is a time and place, man. And it's also a cook. So
oh, good.
I'm like, I hope to fucking God you wash your hands before you leave. Thank God he did. Because I just ate there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if he just straight up walked out.
You don't want some dude's ball sweat off your chicken tendies?
No. I don't want the fucking urine fingers. Urine fingers. All right. So
that's a movie.
That's going to be a movie.
Yeah, it is now.
Yep. The prophet has spoken. So now she's saying her vows. She's going to be chastised and all these things, right? And devote her life to God. That's the whole idea. Even though, like, why did she have to do the vows again when it's clear she already has the vows taken at her, like, her other place? I guess maybe this place is just hardcore and they were like, no, we have to make sure you're doing it. Maybe it's their thing. You know, they have like a tradition. Cecilia, she's going through her vow process and she's down on her knees with a couple other nuns. And dude, immediately I'm like, oh God, are they going to do something fucking sexual right away? And that's immediately what I was thinking. Like, do you prepare to remain chastity? And like, and just whips his pants down. I don't know. That's immediately what I was thinking, because he's doing like, I don't know. It looked like he was fucking holding his pants open and she's looking down, and it's really just like him holding his ring down to her face, and yep. She needed to kiss the ring. So
kiss the ring.
And, you know, then they get fucking lit up later, drinking the blood of Christ, you know, having it's wine. If for those of you who don't know, they're not drinking actual blood. So Cecilia goes on a little walk and she hears crying and she sees this person on the floor with a red mask.
Yeah. She walks in and this person just like lifts up their face, turned their head around, looked at her, and then face down again.
Yeah. And like the head nun just comes by and she starts talking to her and says that, oh, this is the nail of Christ. You know, one of the nails that was used to go through his hands and feet to nail him up to the cross. And she's holding it. Next thing we see is she passes out and then she wakes up.
She woke up pregnant.
Well, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but that's fine. So I'm wondering now, because we can really just kind of jump into it.
Because she went to the confession.
Yeah, she wakes. Oh, God. There was a nice jump scare there. Did that catch you off guard?
Honestly, no, because I think I have like this ability to sense when a jump scare is going to happen.
Yep.
Like most of the time. Mm-hmm. So you can just like clench your cheeks because you know it's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every single one of them in this movie I saw coming.
That one I did not see coming, because I think maybe I was taking notes and I was watching and all of a sudden it just fucking happened. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, it kind of just like, it was a jump scare. It's not like I screamed or anything. I was just like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't prepared. That's all. So, yeah. And she wakes up. She gets pulled into the fucking office. They were like, have you been with company? Was it company? Have you been with
company? I think he said with company. And then have you been with man?
Yeah. And like they're just grilling her. And they're just like, listen, are you fucking dudes? And she's like, no, I've been celibate. Damn it. And then we find out she's pregnant. So at this point, we're like, okay, this is very sus. Because she fucking just shows up to the place. All of a sudden, she's pregnant. No, it doesn't work like that. You don't just like show up to a place. All of a sudden, you're pregnant. I mean, even if you showed up at some random church as a nun, you think God would have a vetting process, right? And go, I don't know. She might be all right. Maybe we'll do this person instead. We'll make them pregnant. It's not just like, oh, yep, first girl that shows up, we're going to impregnate her.
Yeah. I don't quite understand how they were choosing people either. I don't think they ever explained that.
No, I don't think they did. I think they just kept trying. But yeah, we're going to get into all that.
Yeah.
So
I do love how, though, she gets pregnant and then the whole convent is basically worshiping her now.
Yeah, because they think of her as like Mother Mary.
Yeah, they think it's some sort of miracle that she's pregnant and she's never been with a man.
Yeah.
So they're literally worshiping her. And at the same time, Isabel, the other nun, she gets pissed about it because she wanted to be the one that had the baby and everyone worshipped her.
Mm-hmm.
And she got so upset about it, she yeets herself off the top of the convent. Dude, the makeup here was so fucking good when they flipped her over and showed her mangled face when she took a dirt nap.
Oh my God, dude.
It looked like, so awesome.
Just a straight digger to the face. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it
she
was just swan
dove into the asphalt.
Literally, yeah. Swan dive into the asphalt. What are you,
like that Head B.E. song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Love that album, man. That's a great album.
Yep.
Also, fuck Spotify for having that on their platform because it's censored.
Really?
Yeah, the whole thing is censored.
Well, they are a Jesus band, so.
Oh, Head P.E. is a Jesus band?
You didn't know that?
What are you talking about?
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking P.O.D.
Oh, God, yes, you are. Yeah. P.O.D. way different. Way different.
Different new metal band.
Yep, different new metal band. Yeah, Head P.E. is definitely not religious. Well, no, they might be. I don't know. Lead singer might be a little bit, but the shit that he says is not Catholic friendly at all. Not at all. All right, so she takes a digger into the ground. Her face looks like Hamburg at this point. So now we're starting to see all sorts of shit happening. Cecilia's friend, Sister Mary. Yeah, Sister Mary, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, Gwen. Sister Mary's the one that's pissed off. Gwen, so her friend Gwen, she's the outspoken one. Like, she had a tattoo when she's, you know, helping to bathe Cecilia, all this stuff. So she's the one who's kind of got it together, Like, she's got a little bit of a mix of real world with joining the convent. So she's not stupid. She's not like complete blinders on the side of the head, you know, that type thing. She gets it. So she spoke up, and she's speaking up against, you know, the priest and the head nun and all this stuff. And she's pissed about it because none of it makes sense. Everything seems suspicious. All of a sudden, she's dead, you know, that type thing. And next thing we see is that she's getting her tongue cut off.
Ugh. Yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, brutal. And they use like a thing. They'll like hold her mouth open, and they pulled out her tongue with like a giant pair of pliers.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
And that reminded me of Speak No Evil.
Yeah, well, Speak No Evil, they were using basically play school scissors.
Yeah, at least they use like legit ones in this.
Yeah, this one was a giant ass knife, and I think they maybe at least heated the thing up on fire. So it's like, you know, warm knife through butter, cauterizing at the same time, and all's good in the world, I guess. Not really.
No. Everything is not all right.
No.
Not in this world.
No, not in this world. So, yeah, this is when Cecilia starts seeing all this shit happening, and she's ready to get the fuck out of there, man. She's over it. So she concocts this pretty fucking good plan, by the way.
It didn't click to me at first either until they found the chicken corpse later.
Yeah, it didn't dawn on me at first.
Holy shit, she's smart.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty ingenious. So, yeah, she killed a chicken, which she couldn't do earlier in the film. She just couldn't bear to kill a chicken, which, understandable. It's not for everyone. That's a hard fucking thing to do, I'm sure. You know, just lopping the head off a chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be a little hard. But after a while, I think some people are just so over it. Like, they just drop the chicken in and fucking cut the head off, and it's another day of work. So she cuts the head off a chicken, put blood all over her, making it seem like there was complications with the pregnancy and that they're bleeding all over the place. So she begs them to take her to the hospital to get her out of the convent, which they did. They take her out past the gates, and we're thinking like, oh, good, she's going to actually get the fuck out of there and get to the hospital, and they're going to see that some shit's happening or whatever, and she'll be fine. They find out, though, on the way there, that it was all a ploy for her to get out of there. Like, some nun called the priest, letting him know what the fuck's happening. Not before she puts her face into the blood, and she's, like, smearing it on her because they think that this is the blood of Christ. They're thinking this is Immaculate Conception. And Corey, I'm watching that and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah, it's a little odd, but I get it. Like you said, they think everything she's got going on is a miracle. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, they think everything's a miracle and it's fucking whatever. So they bring her back, and this is when they decide to basically kind of cripple her in a way. They burn crosses into the bottom of her feet.
So they kind of alluded to this at the beginning of the movie when Cecilia was going through the infirmary.
Right.
And she saw another nun in there that had these cross scars on her feet. And I'm like, how the fuck? Well, we find out how it happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we do.
They are literally branding the bottom of people's feet with this cross symbol. And this scene, like, I cringed.
Oh, yeah, it was gross. Oh,
that one got me.
Yep. So this is also where we find out the whole spiel of the plan.
They're trying to resurrect people.
Yeah, they're trying to resurrect Jesus Christ because there is blood and bone fragment on the nail. So he's using that DNA to resurrect Christ. And immediately I'm like, well, that's like playing God. And then Cecilia is like, you're playing God. I'm like, great minds think alike. So he's basically playing God, which is completely absurd. But he was in genetics or something like that before joining the convent as a priest. So that was his thing. And he brought that on over. He saw this opportunity and he started trying to make Jesus Christ happen. And this is like the actual first time where it's made it past a certain trimester. So he's seeing this as the opportunity. This is like the one that actually makes it. So this is where she starts going on a fucking rampage, man.
Awesome. She starts clipping everyone.
Oh, yeah. She goes fucking crazy. So she's laying in bed and she grabs this cross and she just starts fucking wailing the head nun, just murdering the shit out of her, smashing her face with a cross.
Yeah. So, she was capital D-E-D.
Yep. Capital D-E-D dead. So kills her and she starts walking out and all of a sudden a fucking bucket of water coming out of her. Water broke. She's going into labor after she just fucking murdered the shit out of this person. So,
yep.
But here's what I was actually thinking. When I saw her laying there and the head nun is just sitting there, I'm thinking plot twist. This is actually going to birth the son of the devil or something like that, right? Like the next coming of the devil, not Christ. That would be a plot twist.
Well, that's kind of what I thought they were doing, like, because obviously she has the baby in the movie, and I thought that's what they were going to do.
Which would have been valid.
Because, like, we'll get there, but the sounds that that thing was making?
Not human sounding at all. And that probably goes into, like, where, remember, we saw, like, a whole line of failed experiments of resurrecting Christ.
And lots of dead babies.
A lot of dead babies there. All in jars and on display. So a lot of dead babies in jars. So it's possible that could have just been an effect. Like they tried like hell. But also, now that we know that this is like some sort of fucking DNA experiment, how the hell did they get her pregnant?
I was thinking the same thing. I don't think they ever explained it.
They never explained it. The only thing, like artificial insemination, right? But that's a hard one to do. I mean, she would have to have been out for a fucking while. Right.
I was going to say that doesn't explain how she woke up pregnant.
Yeah, not at all. Because, you know, it takes some time for her to fucking become pregnant. So maybe it was immaculate. Right. Who knows? Maybe like they were trying to fucking make her pregnant and it didn't work. But instead she got actually pregnant. I don't know. We don't know. None of that was explained. So there's like a little bit of a plot hole there. Unless that's like maybe just open for interpretation.
Gotta be.
So that's probably what's happening here. So, murdered the shit out of the nun, starting to go into labor, and she's fucking on a warpath, man. She's just going all over the place. She kills the high priest, right?
Dude, that was brutal. She strangles him with a rosary.
Oh, yeah. Strangles the fuck out of him. So, strangles him with a rosary, and just dead as fuck. And, oh, yeah, and then the doctor catches her, and the doctor goes running. So, at this point, she's just trying to get the hell out of there. And this is where she runs into Father Sal Tedeschi, and she's trying to, like, actually, wait, no, I'm going to take a step back real quick. She's fucking adamant to, obviously, destroy this whole fucking thing. So, she goes down to that laboratory, basically. It's like a makeshift lab, and she fucking pours ethanol all over the place. And she's about to light this thing on fire. But Father Sal Tedeschi, he comes in and he's trying to, you know, stop her from doing it. Because also she has the nail at this point too. And like she wanted to make sure that they didn't have any access to it. She didn't want any of this shit happening for anyone going forward. So grab the nail. She's about to light this place on fire. And a fight ensues. She manages to get out and lock the door behind him and sets the place ablaze. But naturally, she hits the floor because she's in fucking pain from being in labor.
Well, yeah, that. And we find out that Sal Tedeschi is also the fucking Terminator at this point. Yeah, how did he survive?
I don't know, man. He just smashes the door down half on fucking fire, basically. And
his face is cooked off.
Yeah, he's fucking cooked. She goes running and she goes into like these catacomb type deals, or it's like some sort of tunnel. I'm not sure really how to explain it, but she found an exit. It's like basically a hole, and he grabs her, pulls her back, and starts performing the fucking dirtiest C-section ever.
Ugh. Oh, so gross.
Fucking gross, dude.
He's using a scalpel he's using to give her a C-section.
Yeah, at least there's that. Those things are sharp as fuck. So,
yeah, but like, she's awake. She's feeling all of this. No, yeah, well, painkillers, none of that.
Yeah, I mean, with C-sections, a lot of times there are painkillers involved, but then sometimes there isn't. Sometimes, like, they just go for it. And they're already in so much pain as it is, like, when giving birth, so it probably doesn't even fucking faze them. So,
yeah, but this was hard to watch. Because he's doing it very slowly as he's basically taunting her.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally get to see the spike used, or the nail.
Yeah.
Which was fucking brutal.
Yeah, right through the neck. And right there, I would say that your DNA is fucked, because any blood or bone fragment that was on that nail is now in that guy's throat, and no one's going to be able to dig that shit out. So it's already fucked. So
yep, plan fucked.
Yep. So stab the shit out of him. She makes it out of the hole. Now she's outside of the walls of the convent. And this is where we start seeing a screaming fit, which is her just giving birth.
Oh, man. Yeah, but the way she... This part in particular, like the last 10 minutes or so, just goosebumps. She acted her ass off because she's screaming and, you know, she's in so much pain and she's basically giving labor while standing up.
Yeah.
Or having labor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Sydney Sweeney sold this scene so well.
Mm-hmm.
She's covered in blood, and it's just so gruesome and vicious.
Yeah, and like the old school way, man, she fucking bites the umbilical cord.
Dude, that reminded me of Freddy Got Fingered.
Oh, my God. I love that movie. I tried watching that recently. It really doesn't hold up that well.
It really wasn't good then either, but I loved it, too.
Yeah. You know, it's a fucking movie that you hang out, you have a sleepover with your friends with, and you watch it, and you're like, oh, this is fucking great.
Yeah, that type movie. She totally Tom Green the umbilical cord.
Yeah, exactly. She fucking just ripped the umbilical cord in half with her teeth. And you know what? From what I hear, they just wrap that shit around their hand and just pull it out. Pull it out of the fucking cervix. I'm not fully aware of like how the whole process goes back in the day, but it was way more visceral. Mm-hmm. Like way, like seriously vicious back in the day. So like just by like from what I've read, not from personal experience, obviously, but I've read it. Like, it's just the archaic methods. They were all like, that's what you had to do. You didn't have these fancy, you know, methods of like C-sections, things like that. It was brutal. A lot of people died during childbirth, like that kind of way. So, and the coup de grace. And this is where I'm like, I'm watching it because you hear the baby born and it doesn't sound like a normal baby. Like you don't hear the normal screaming, crying that you would hear.
No, it's almost like it's growling.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost sounds like it's growling. And then she grabs a rock, and immediately I'm like, oh, Corey's having a moment. And then, yeah, kills the baby with this giant-ass rock. And I'm thinking to myself, Corey just came all over the place. Full-blown orgasm, full body. Like, he's laying on the floor right now, questioning life decisions.
Wow, okay.
Corey, that is the ultimate dead kid, because not only is that the DNA of Christ that they made a child with is now a very dead baby via a very heavy rock. That and that has to be top of the totem pole. I mean, they killed Christ. They killed Christ as a baby.
It was a pretty brutal ending. I loved it, though, because like right after she squashes the baby's head, the screen just fades to black.
Fade to black and scene. That's it. This movie was brutal. It had the nice music at the end. I'm like, this is fucked up. I don't regret paying $10 to rent it. I'll say that.
Worth every penny.
It was good. I think we can go into it, though. Corey, what do you give Immaculate?
This is a 5 out of 5. I honestly wish I could rate this one higher than 5, but I'm trying to stick to the scale here. I kind of mentioned it before, but the ending is probably one of the most intense and anxiety-inducing endings I've ever seen. It literally gave me goosebumps. Mm-hmm. Sydney Sweeney, I really think she deserves an Oscar for her performance in this. Wow. She won't get one because critics are fucking dumb.
Yeah, we are.
The movie itself, absolutely amazing. Nothing we haven't seen before because, you know, the cult subject. But this was done in a way you'd never expect, being all of this happens inside of a church.
Right.
Again, that ending left me absolutely fucking speechless. I was nauseous. And the whole third act of this movie was bonkers. It's nice to see like a big budget film like this that was in theaters actually be this good.
Yeah, that third act was definitely bonkers. All from just the burning the crosses in her feet all the way to the fucking end. It was just nuts. It turned into like absolute insanity. I'm actually going to give it a 4 out of 5. It's not that I didn't hate it or anything. There were some parts where I'm just like, okay. But Sydney Sweeney really did kill it in this. I can see why you gave it 5 out of 5, because of the pure dread and super dead baby at the end. The score was awesome. It was a really fucked up premise of a movie. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it's happening right now. That like that's an actual thing that obviously when it comes to religions, they're very secretive of. They have these traditions. They don't talk about it. It's not widely known. So it's could be a possible thing. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is happening. I thought Sydney Sweeney shined in this as a lead, but as we talked about earlier, the movies she's been in that have been coming out that she's tied to haven't really been boasting too well at the box office, along with credits, especially with this only pulling in, from what I read, 22 million globally, which, again, sounds modest, but it's a little bit on the lower end for a global movie. So either way, I still think she has a bright future. And also, man, that girl can cry like you wouldn't believe. I would watch her in Euphoria. Have you ever seen Euphoria?
Yeah, I love Euphoria.
It's great. It's a great show. And just fucking tears. Like, it's almost like her eyeballs explode water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's really good at it.
She's very good at it. That's a hard thing to do, and she's able to do it effortlessly. It's almost like her eyes are just ready to cry at all times because you see the fucking, like, the vessels in her eyes just ready to explode.
Yep. Eyes, she gets the redness and everything.
Yep, she doesn't fuck around, man. But yeah, Sydney Sweeney's great. She's like the new It Girl for Hollywood. It's like her, Jenna Ortega, and Anya Taylor-Joy. Those are like the kind of three at the moment.
I don't know if Jenna Ortega's there yet, man. She's got like, well, she's done Beetlejuice. She is doing Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Scream.
Yeah.
I don't know what else she's done.
X.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Ooh, Max, I can't wait for Maxine.
Yeah, me too. I think in preparation for Maxine, when it comes out, we should do the three in a row. Do X, Pearl, and then Maxine.
I'm down. That's been on our list, so.
It is on our list to do the X series. And we're not talking X-Men.
No, we're not doing that. I don't want to do that.
Pearl is a masterpiece.
Yeah, Pearl's definitely my favorite of the two so far.
I think so. I think I like it a little bit more than the first one. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30ScreamsOrLess.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out BeardOctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30Screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30ScreamsOrLess@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30ScreamsOrLess. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.